Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride With GPS, and Peak Design. It's day 9 at TCR number 12, and Robin Gimperla, cap number 1, remains at the front of the race, hurtling towards Kalamata, with the finish line slowly creeping into sight. He's already through Parkour 4, which is where our Control Team 1 are currently waiting for second place rider, Nicolas Châtelet, cap 126. He's been chasing hard, but hasn't quite been able to rein Robin in. Let's pick up today's action with another chase, further back in the field. Race reporters Sophie and Control Team 2 are on the hunt for Powell Pico Pulowski, cap number 8.
Good morning for Control Car number 2, who has now turned as a rally car. We are following Pico, who decided to go on a gravel track that looks more like a... What does it look like? I don't know. It's in the middle of the forest with potholes. And it's been like that for like a few kilometers. That's a really, really weird choice of route. But I mean, the forest is beautiful. Maybe he will bump into a bear. So I don't know. Maybe he's into wildlife. I don't know. Hello again from Control Car number 2. We've been driving. It's been now 20 minutes since we are on that mad road. And we start wondering whether it's a problem with the tracker, but no, because we can see Pico tire tracks on the road. So we're sure he's here, but again, why? Why? I think someone thought that they were on the Accurs and not on TCR this year. But a good thing is that maybe this will become a future parkour on TCR.
Eventually, they managed to track Pico down for a chat.
You've been right. The car is more dirty than my bike.
Why is that? Do you know why it is?
Because you take some shortcuts.
we took the same shortcut that you took.
Oh, really? It's Did you ride the car?
Yes.
Once I entered, and when I've seen the car, I've moved my car somewhere, then I was okay, it will be a good, good road. It was great.
It was beautiful.
Seriously,
but
I was on that bloody busy road before, and I could go straight or like detour, but also on the road. Oh, once I entered the forest, just amazing.
Do you regret your choice?
No, never. I would never choose the other one.
Yeah?
No, this one was great.
One rider already at control point 3 is Simon Fleury, cap 75. The control points are the only mandatory location where the riders are required to stop. Except earlier today, Simon experienced an enforced stop of quite a different kind. By the police.
So they waved at me and to come out. They want to test for alcohol.
They usually like the one riders we had that were Belgian or Dutch. You're the first, like being Swiss.
Yeah,
being stopped.
I don't know what.
And how did it go like?
I passed.
Oh, passed.
Yes.
Like the unofficial anti-doping, like on the alcohol. But it did they let you go like easy? Not just have you wait for longer.
No, it was just 5 minutes.
For several days now, the two riders at the front of the Flinter category have been riding close together and appear to be building towards a sprint finish finale on the final parkour to Kalamata. Sarah Boslett, cap 120, and Camille Albissa, cap 270, are both due to arrive at CP3 in Sarajevo. First in, Sarah. Sophie was there to greet her.
So I don't want to look on the tracker, but...
Do you... Yeah.
Which position am I?
You want to know?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You want to know?
She wants to know.
I want to know.
20 seconds.
So that will be first. 20 well,
and
of course, obviously.
And we're first Flinter.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
Did you... Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine? Yeah?
Yes. And for the rest, I'm not watching it anymore.
How does it feel to be cleaning your bike and having 10 people looking at you after being on your own for like so many days?
It's so nice to see people.
Yeah?
Yeah. I before, I was always a little further behind and then I saw a lot of people. And now I don't see anyone, so it's not so good to be fast. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, maybe you can slow down, I don't know.
No. I can see people increase.
Just 10 minutes later, Camille rolls off the Olympic bobsleigh run and into the control point.
What's your strategy from now on?
I just continue as is. Thank you. I cycle, around 6 p.m. I always decide like when I should stop, and then I stop for like 5 to 6 hours. Last night I stopped 6 hours, I think. I felt like that I needed that, but actually it was good because I had a good meal, slept a lot, and today I felt great and could push, so happy with that, and I think I'll continue like that.
Yeah. Are you looking a bit at trackers?
Yes, but I'm also, you know, for example, last night I was behind, but I was like, okay, I know I need my sleep, so I will sleep. And actually I pushed, and this morning I closed the gap, right? So
yeah, because you arrived like a few minutes behind Sarah, so yeah. Did you already think about Greece?
Yeah, actually I'm looking forward now to some, like, real rest, you know? I mean, yes. I know the road is still long, and I'm still looking forward to ride, but slowly I'm, you know, trying to picture myself there on vacation.
Yeah, and how does it look like?
Good.
Yeah.
Sleeping, eating, perfect.
The beach?
The beach, yeah.
The sea?
Yeah, the food.
Let's go right to the front of the race. Robin Gemperla is up ahead and doing his thing, so Control Team 1 are waiting for more leading riders on Parkour 4. Here's race director David Eyre. He's with race reporter Jake Thorpe.
So, David, dynamics of the race, how are we looking at the moment?
Well, Robin Gemperla continues to pull out a considerable lead at this point in time. As things stand, he has just passed through Macedonia and is now back into Albania and making his way towards CP4. Our control car is currently perched on the roadside on this lovely ribbon of tarmac on Parkour 4, climbing up and out of a valley floor, so we're deep into accursed country here, for those who follow the sister race of the Transcontinental. And we're waiting for Nicolas Châtelet, the closest chaser to Robin. He is almost half a day behind at this point, though, Robin having passed through this area last night. And then a little bit further back, currently making their way down through Kosovo, are a host of other characters, including Jonas Verest and Joskup. Lots of riders having taken that route down through Serbia, crossed over into Montenegro and come over that border crossing down into Kosovo. So, lots unfolding here. The chase is definitely on, and it remains to be seen whether there's enough road left between those riders and the finish to see if they can rein in Robin.
So it's completely understandable why the parkour is this incredible stretch of tarmac. Dot watchers might notice that CP4 is quite a long way away from the fourth parkour. Could you explain the rationale behind that?
When we are designing the routes for the race, we like to look at the way that the control points in the parkour set riders up for their routes in between them. And we like to think about, I suppose, like both the excitement of the race and the safety as well. So when we were initially designing TCR number 12 and looking for a good place for a control point for this bit to match with this bit of parkour, we initially looked at having Hotel Piazza in Peshkopi as the control point, which we've used on the Accursed previously and we know is really well set up for this sort of race. But when we were doing more detailed route planning, it became obvious that what that would do was drag riders closer to the Adriatic on the other side of Albania and then drop them down on much faster roads. And we think it is quieter, safer and more beautiful to keep them on a more easterly trajectory. So Leskovik, which I've ridden on both for leisure and for recce, made its way into the race this year. So really nice little village on the side of the Melishin Mountains in the south of Albania, looking towards the Pindus Mountains as well. So a really gorgeous area of the country. And that gave, a better shape to the race and hopefully an exciting and fun ride for the riders as well.
With the riders now spread right across Europe, we've handed the interview mic to Chris, our control point manager at CP2. He caught up with James Auburn, Cap 196, who I think speaks for all of us when looking at the pace of this year's race.
It's mind-boggling. Like, I cannot comprehend how they're going so far and so fast. Like, I'm at my absolute limit and they're already twice as far. And it's blown my mind. But enjoying being in the pack and seeing lots of other people suffering with each other. So, yeah. It's type 2 fun all the way down.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us that you will have completed the Parkour 2B this morning. How was that?
It was beautiful. I really liked the rolling along the top of the hill with the in the fields and stuff. Spicy downhill. I thought it wasn't too bad, but it was good fun.
Our man on the road, Andrew Phillips, cap 00A, continues to make his way south, and a few dot watchers have noticed some interesting route choices. Is he carrying out some sort of mid-race recce? No. It's all John's fault, his long-departed pairs partner, and the man formerly known as Cap 00B. Here's Andrew catching up with Alex Gay from Ride With GPS, one of our race partners.
Looks like you're on your own, you're blazing your own trail. Are you doing some scouting, perhaps, or what?
No, but so this is the last bit of route. John and I planned the route together. I don't know whether you saw, John has now scratched. But I'm on his last route file that he did. I planned the second half of the route. This choice is his, and someone else said to me, it looked like I might have gone a bit rogue today. There have been some extremely steep hills, so that might be why other people avoid.
I see. So it wasn't a deliberate choice to be a bit further east than everyone else, or most other riders?
It might have been by John, I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. He has ride with the GPS, like the rest of us, and knows how to use it. But there was... I did notice a lack of sort of thoroughness on some of his route files, which I went over. A lot of automatic routing that needed pulling back and like bike paths that needed pulling out, things like that.
Mm-hmm. You've scouted the whole area. So does that kind of give you some confidence of like what to expect now in the second half that you've planned it?
Yeah, I would say definitely for the second half. I know all the border crossings and the good routes through Albania and round Lake Orrid and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think this next bit coming up, I'm A, looking forward to, and B, more confident about for sure.
Let's go back to Sophie and the team at Control Point 3 in Sarajevo. She's there with a bunch of riders who've made their way to the control point and might just be thinking about both Kalamata and their position in the race. Oliver Glenn, Cap 45.
I don't know if you know where you are in the ranking. Is this something that you look at, or?
No, not really. I didn't really have any expectations. I did the TCR a few years ago, and it was just like survival mode the whole time. My route was terrible, and I managed to finish. But yeah, I just felt completely out of control. But this time, I feel a bit more in control. Like I'm making the time cutoffs and everything, and everything's gone a lot smoother, except for like today. But you're bound to have something go wrong. But yeah, no expectations. I'm pretty happy with where I am at the minute. Probably lost a few places today, but I'm not too bothered. Like 20th, 30th doesn't really matter to me. I'm more interested in just having a smooth ride. And
I mean, it's smooth, but it's also quite fast. Huh? I mean, you have a lot of spare time for until the cutoff of the season.
Yeah, maybe so. I could roll in, like take a... the next week and a half, nice and easy, enjoy the Balkans.
After 9 days on the road, normal life starts to feel like some distant memory. Instead, riders enter what's often called the ultra bubble. Bjorn Wersching, Cap 302.
Have you entered the ultra bubble, like where you start doing things you wouldn't do into your normal life, kind of?
Yeah, maybe sleeping at bus stops or something like this, yeah.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, but there are nicer places. Yeah. For example, in the forest, yeah.
Do you look a bit at trackers, or how do you manage? What's your strategy in your race?
Yeah, like yesterday I had some problems with the internet connection. So there was no service for me in Serbia. But now I got that fixed, and this morning I can finally check the tracker again. So yesterday was going without any information, but it was good too, right? You can concentrate completely on the travel and...
Yeah, for the ease of the mind a little bit.
Yeah, and you have to do your own race anyway, so yeah.
Yeah.
It does not matter that much what the others are doing. Yeah.
And so do you know your ranking here?
Not exactly, but something above 20th place. So the target is to be within the first 20.
All right.
But yeah, I hope it will be possible. You're working hard, huh? Yeah. But I'm feeling good.
Behind Sarah and Camille, Leah Hamburger, Cap 404, has ridden a brilliant race and has maintained a third place position.
How do you feel compared to yesterday? Or
good, actually. Better than yesterday, I would say. Yeah.
You made it to CB3?
Yeah! It's crazy, like, so far already. Norway seems so far away.
And how Greece feels?
Well, Greece also seems so far away. Thank you, guys! Yeah. Maybe even further, but I know it isn't. So, yeah.
So, same strategy to the end?
Yeah, I guess now I can also stick with it. A little rest, recovery in the night, and trying to ride fast.
Have you been looking at the trackers, or do you know what is your ranking here?
I mean, I didn't look riding up here, but I saw Sarah and Camille on the way. Mm. Like, they were riding down, I was riding up. So I guess I'm not so far behind them anymore.
Of course, as with every year, a good number of riders find they have to scratch a TCR. That means they take the tough decision to stop riding and end their own race. It's all part of the ultra experience and usually gives riders plenty to learn from. Here's a couple of scratch stories from TCR number 12. First, Jacob Wall, Cap 383.
I'm Jacob, Cap number 383, and I unfortunately had to scratch from this year's TCR because of my left knee. It didn't take the first night too well, and on the second day, when I got out of bed after around 500 kilometers, I collapsed into the wall because it did not support my weight. I kept going and riding anyway, and after 3 days of really, really bad pain, I unfortunately had to scratch. I tried a lot of different things. I taped it up. I changed the position of the cleat, but ultimately it only got worse, and I did not get rid of the inflammation in there as well. Also with medication. I don't like to ride with painkillers, so only took them at night. Right now, I'm already back home in Germany. I started seeing a doctor because of the knee and to get rid of it and get back on the bike as soon as possible. I feel a little disappointed, to be honest. I prepared the whole year for this one event and then it ended so quickly and I did not get the whole Balkan experience. No dog chased me, which is like a no-go for TCR. But I will definitely be back next year, better prepared and hopefully without pain.
Also looking to return is Malte Heger, Cap 257.
Hi there, Sophie. It's Malte, Cap 257. I'm speaking to you from a train in Czechia on my way home to Cologne, at least for now. And I scratched from the race today. My race was characterized by lots of physiological obstacles, let's say. And they came and they also went, but the ultimate one came last night when I descended from Parkour 2A and crashed in the dark. And at first I didn't think it was too bad, but realized I had some pain when gripping things and losing power a bit. Had a swelling, so this morning I went to the hospital and they checked it with x-ray and confirmed that it's actually broken. So yeah, there's no way I could ride keep on riding TCR with this. Instead I'll need to ride around 4 to 6 weeks healing, which does not involve cycling, unfortunately. And for me it's a real bummer because I invested a lot of thought and time and passion into preparing for this race, and this one branch of my personal timeline that went down to Kalamata was obviously richly decorated with a lot of imagination about how it could look and feel to be cycling through those places, to be meeting other riders and so forth. But yeah, that branch of my timeline is deleted at this point. So I still have friends on the roads out there riding, and I would love to be there before them in Kalamata and welcome them. Also, it's not my first TCR, so I know a bit how it feels to be at the finish line. And while finishing TCR is the best thing, maybe the next best thing is witnessing TCR. So that's what I'm gonna do now. And I have lots of holidays booked off work that want to be used. And what better way would there be than chilling in Kalamata?
As we've already noted on this year's podcast, there are elements of ultra racing that only affect certain riders. Ready for another Sophie Explains? You bet you are.
The riders told me that they had a period just before the race started, and today, 10 days later, they had another episode of bleeding. One of them even told me that after spending all day shifting gears, her hands were so tired that putting on a tampon wasn't exactly easy. So how is that even possible? Well, I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Today, the periods. First of all, what actually is a period? Every month, the female body prepares for a possible pregnancy. I will not go into the detail on how to get pregnant, but the uterus builds a soft lining full of blood vessels and nutrients ready to receive a future baby. If pregnancy doesn't happen, that lining is no longer needed, so the body shreds it through the cervix and the vagina. That's what we call a period. On average, a woman loses about 30 to 80 millimeters of blood during an entire period. That's just 2 to 5 tablespoons, but still very inconvenient on a chamois. But a period is only one part of a much bigger story, the menstrual cycle that lasts around 28 days. And here's the interesting part. Your uterus doesn't decide when you get your period, your brain does. It communicates with your ovaries using hormones. And those hormones don't just affect your uterus, they also influence your brain, your muscles, your body temperature, your appetite, and even your mood. That's why some women feel completely different depending on where they are in their cycle. More tired, more emotional, have cramps, sleep badly, or suddenly want to eat everything in sight, including their partners. That's called premenstrual syndrome, or PMS. If you know, you know. And then there is a practical side. Having your period during an ultra isn't just about hormones, it's also about logistics and hygiene. Most riders use tampon or a menstrual cup, both need to be inserted. So keeping your hands as clean as possible is really important. So today when riders even choose tampons without an applicator because they take less space in a bag. So imagine all the logistics behind and imagine your period start unexpectedly. Finding period product can suddenly become another logistical challenge that only some riders have to think about. And what about those two riders who started bleeding again just 10 days later? That doesn't necessarily mean that they had two normal menstrual periods. Extreme physical stress, sleep deprivation, and not eating enough can all disrupt the hormones that regulate the menstrual cycle. Sometimes the bleeding happens earlier, sometimes later, sometimes periods disappear for a while. So it's just a reminder that the body is trying to adapt, not just to survive the race. But what about performance? The truth is, we still don't have all the answers. For decades, much of medical research, not just sports science, focused mainly on men. Thankfully, that's changing. Fortunately, not as fast as Robin, though. And we're finally learning how the female body responds to endurance sports and medicine in general. What we do know is that researchers haven't found one phase of the menstrual cycle that consistently improves or reduces performance in every woman. Some athletes notice clear changes, others notice almost none. That's why many female athletes track their own cycle, not to follow a universal rule, but to understand how their own body responds. Turns out you cannot understand half the population if you only study the other half. No shit.
Elaine Fromenty, Cap 134, has been riding consistently from the start of this year's race and has sent us this dispatch from the road.
I am currently riding in the south of Hungary. I'm like 10 kilometers from the Croatian border. I did yesterday quite a nice encounter in Hungary when I was riding to my hotel. So I was riding in the city, some random village, and at some point I saw like someone really close to the road and I was like, what this person's doing? And in the end, like, it was when I came closer, he was like screaming my name, Helen, stop please for a second, stop please. And I was like, okay. And so I realized it was some dot watcher. He was like, do you want Coca-Cola? Do you want Powerade? Do you want pizza? I have everything for you. Please come here and put your bike a second and get what you need, blah blah blah. And I was like, oh my god, it's so nice. But on the other hand, I was in a hurry to get to my hotel and I was really looking forward to get some sleep. So yeah, I was super thankful, but I told the guy, thank you so much. However, I really need to go because I want to get some rest. But yeah, it's crazy how even after like around 3,000 kilometer, yeah, you keep randomly at any time of the day meet people.
Another dispatch from further back in the race comes from Pairs partners, Mylene Vicente and Bastian Centuberi, caps 422 A and B. For them, TCO number 12 is a very special kind of adventure.
How is going the honeymoon? So I will say perfectly. We just have some unexpected events. But how can I give you more details? Maybe we have a lot of water, I will say, but not the sea as expected for a honeymoon. More, we were under the rain in Norway and more in Sweden. We did some safari, I can say, for our honeymoon because we saw many deers in the Swedish campaign or countryside, and yes, we saw fox. It was amazing during the evening, but we lost some time because I had an issue with my back hub, so they didn't have the piece in order to change it. So I now have a new wheel. We can say a kind of gift for the honeymoon because now our wallet is empty. I can say that. So these few days was nice, I can say. We are still in pair. We are still in the race. So I can say it's a perfect honeymoon again. And we want to continue it as a pair, I will say.
Back to control point 3, and Max Agut, cap 51, has arrived feeling pretty worse for wear. He's been at the pointy end of things since Trondheim and been lightning fast day after day. But the time has come to make that difficult decision to stop racing. He speaks to race coordinator Hannah Labalestier.
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm so sick and I have a lot of, you know, illness, injuries, and I can't recover from the start, and it's going worse and worse, and like, so, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
how are you feeling about it?
Well, it's, I mean, it's like, I will say I will not continue to destroy myself. Like, I have always nose blood every day, every time. I have diarrhea since the start. It's going hardest and hardest, so I prefer to not yet destroy myself like totally, and then like finish well the season with all the things that race to do, not to do.
This has been your first TCR, your longest race so far.
Yeah, longest race, because I think even if I didn't finish, it's 1,500 like kilometer plus than the TPR. But I think I was here to feel the hurt of the TCR. I touched that, I think, and then yeah, for sure I will come back for and finish at business. But I have to recover first, and then I will see. I learned a lot like during this 2,500 kilometers. So I could like come back with many, you know, experience about that. A lot of things that I have to not do, a lot of things that I have to do. I have a lot of things to you know, improve, to be on the top of the TCR.
Before we finish today's episode, let's head back to Control Team 1, who've arrived in the final country of TCR number 12. Did they make it to Greece before Robin? In their car? Which has an actual engine? No, of course not. Here's Jake with race director David with an overview of how things stand with the end game in sight.
So Hawk Team 1 officially crossed the border today into Greece at 8:59, with the border closing at 9 p.m. We celebrated by wetting our beak with some of the local rakia, the sort of local Greek spirit offered to us by our hotelier. So David, we're sitting here now. Tell us about the state of play.
So we were not the first person associated with TCR number 12 to make it into Greece. We followed hot on the heels of Robin Gemperla, who continues to eke out an ever-increasing lead as he heads towards the finished parkour, which will deliver him to Kalamata. We have spent the day out on Parkour 4 up towards between Kukes and Peshkopi. We saw Nicolas Châtelet there, but there was a large gap between Robin and Nicolas, and then there's a large gap back to the following pack of riders. So having had a quick look at the tracking as we've crossed over the border, we can see that Jonas Verest, who we know has had some mechanical issues today with the crank arm seemingly splitting in two because he's so powerful, slowing his progress a little bit, which has given the others close behind him the opportunity to gain some ground. So that's really put the fight for the podium back into like a clear view now, and makes it a really exciting race as those riders make their way to the final control before the finish down in Leskovik. Then in the Flinterfield, we know that Camille and Sarah are separated by a matter of minutes, having passed through CP3 earlier today. So we can see that they're now rapidly making progress south with Control Car 2, with Hannah, Sophie and Sam following closely to them as well, to make sure that we're able to bring their stories to the world as well. So yeah, lots unfolding across the course of the race. We still have four bursary riders pedaling towards the finish as well. So Luca, Wojciech, Maxim and Jack are all making their way down south at the moment. It's really great to see four of the five of them still well in the mix. And then the last but by no means least, looking at the pairs race as well. Now, we know that Christian Dupraz, hot on the heels of the mechanical difficulties that his partner Dina faced at TCR number 11 last year when one of her seat stays cracked on quite close to the finish, he has unfortunately broken a fork this year. So mechanical misadventures continue as they make their way towards Kalamata. It looks like they might be back on track now, which is really reassuring. And while they might be looking for the cultural connections in each of the places that they pass through and making sure they take time to enjoy the moment, that doesn't mean they're pedaling any slower. So they'll be, again, right in the mix for their pairs win overall as well.
And here's race reporter Sophie with her own recap of the day.
Today, control car number 2, we spend the day at CP3, so next to Sarajevo, welcoming the top 30 riders before heading further south along the route where some mountains magically appeared. But because we've been chasing riders yesterday and today, I've been looking at the tracker like really, really zoomed in, but this afternoon, for the first time, I realized how much progress they have made. And for some of them, the finish line almost feels like within reach. But I'm still very much enjoying everyone's story, so don't rush too much, no? We love following your progress. Here at CP3, though, many riders were already talking about the second part of their holiday, one with a lot of rest, plenty of food, and maybe even a beach. Gossip Girl moments.
Gossip Girl is real?
Before I get into that and tease you all, I have to admit something. I cannot open Instagram without anxiety because I'm scared I will see another rider has scratched. And you might not realize it, but we follow every single dot on the tracker, and somehow we get emotionally attached to all of them. So please keep riding for yourself, but also because you don't want to break my heart. And speaking of heart, spotted Max Virchow, sorry for the pronunciation, cap 280, trying to win my heart by dancing on a bus stop on ABBA. You know I can't resist you. Spotted Peter Kromberger, cap 129, thinking he was in trouble at the Serbian-Croatian border. The officer checked his passport, gave him a stern look, and quickly waved him away. Only then did he reveal he was a dot watcher and simply wanted Peter back on the road as fast as possible. How sweet. Tonight, there is 286 riders on their way to a finish. 31 are already after CP3, and only one after CP4, Robin. And a total of 112 scratches. Tomorrow in Control Car number 2, we will get back out there and try to bring you more stories from the road. And I will finish tonight by sharing the story behind the Parkour 3. That is the bobsleigh track built for the 1984 Winter Olympics game here in Sarajevo, Bosnia. Less than 10 years later, during the Bosnian War, it became an artillery position. So today, instead of soldiers, it welcomed cyclists. A quiet reminder that peace and the freedom to move through places like this is something we should never take for granted. So cherish the fact that you're riding your bike. And in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost.org website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.